plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
And balloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, October 7th, and you're listening to Backstage here on FM 97.3 WZBG. I'm Eric, as always, thrilled to be with you here this morning on a, it's a bit of a rainy Saturday morning, but hey, we're together, which means that it's going to be a great morning. On top of that, I have a fabulous guest with me here in the studio today, and we're going to be talking all about a special event that's coming to the Warner Theater, a special two-night event. It's the 12th Annual International Playwrights Festival. That's right, it's that time of year again. It's two nights of theater, different shows each night. You get, I think it's a total of eight, but we'll talk more about that. And to talk all about it here this morning, I'm joined by the, is director the right title, or the... Headmistress?
Yeah, I like headmistress.
Yeah?
That would be good. Festival director.
The festival director, Miss Charlene Donaghy. Charlene, great to see you again.
Great to see you, too. Our annual visit, which is always a pleasure.
Yeah, you know, it's and I always love having people in the studio, and it's great when it's people... I love meeting new people, don't get me wrong, but I love when people come back and it's been a while, so it's a chance to check in, and it's a chance to talk about something really interesting, usually, and I think that... The Warner Theater's International Playwrights Festival qualifies as really interesting because it's the two-night event and it's a variety of short plays that you're not going to see anywhere else, probably.
No, not together in this format.
And exactly.
Yeah, it's a fun night. You never know what to expect.
No, it's like a box of chocolates.
There you go.
I heard that somewhere. Maybe it was on a bumper sticker. I don't know.
Both.
Just refresh the audience out there. Tell us a little bit about the festival itself, how it got started, and what to expect from the festival.
Sure. So this is our 12th annual festival, and I don't know that we expected 12 years ago it would just become this popular. We've had a great group of loyal audience that come back and new people every year. And we started with this idea right about the same time that I was thinking of this. The Warner was actually thinking of this. They wanted to do some kind of a playwrights festival, and we had sort of these mandates we put on ourselves. We wanted to make it a one-act festival.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do production instead of reading.
Yep.
There's a lot of festivals that do great readings, but we wanted to be able to, a play and a playwright look for production.
Yeah.
So do production. And we really wanted the best. We didn't care if they'd already been performed.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of this premiere-itis that goes on in theater where it's got to be the premiere.
Yeah.
But we really wanted quality, good plays that make an audience feel something. So it has been a journey. I had the count at one point, but I think we've produced something to this point, maybe 130 plays at this point. Yeah, 12 years. I mean, it's there. The early years when we were doing three nights and we were doing, six, eight plays a night was crazy. But it's, Sharon Houck, who was, with the Warner for so long and mm-hmm. such a treasure and such an integral part of growing what the Warner is today. We work this together, and sort of if you split it, there's advancing, which is getting it all ready, putting out a call for scripts, getting all the scripts, and that's my end of it, mm-hmm. and getting the readers. And then there are three final readers, and those final plays are selected. And then from that point of production on, Sharon is masterful at that. And she, as we all know, if you're in this area, know that. And she takes on getting the production done and picking amazing directors and actors and the whole crew. I mean, what are any of us without an amazing backstage crew?
Yeah. And it comes together so quickly because you send out the call for scripts about when during the calendar year?
I usually wait until the calendar turns. So January, February, mm-hmm. we ask them to get them to us usually March to April. Mm-hmm. And then it's a process of first round readers,
yep.
which there's usually about a dozen first round readers that read and rank. They come back. I compile the ones that have the highest rankings from all those readers. And then it's Sharon, myself, and Leah Dimitrik who do the final readings. Yes, I see you smiling. All of us know Leah. We love Leah.
Hi, she's Leah. Amazing.
She's amazing. So we do the final round of reading and make the selections. And sometimes it's like super easy. We all agree. And sometimes we wrestle a little with each other and say, mm-hmm. but this is why this one works. And then this is why this one works. And I think for the audiences, you know, it's a chance to see the talent that is worldwide and across country, but it's also a chance to see the talent that's right here in our backyard. Like a lot of different, you know, this is a Take a Village thing because there's so many plays and each play has director and each play has actors, and it's an amazing opportunity to come and sit down and fall into a whole bunch of different worlds in two nights.
And that's what's kind of staggering about it, is that, I mean, you don't go into this with a theme in mind that you or a concept that you send out in your call. It's just send us really good work.
Correct.
And so you could see in one night, you could see something that's very dramatic and heavy, something that's very light and airy. You know, you could see something that's a period piece. You could see something mm-hmm. that's very modern. And it kind of runs the whole gamut in a very fascinating way. And so you said about March, April, you're starting to read and whatnot.
Yes.
And then the staff, the crew, the production side of it, that starts coming together in like early September or sometimes, you know, August. But it's really not that long of a time for everything to fall into place.
It is. It's a fast speed for all the artists involved. And I think it's a testament to what we have in this area. Mm-hmm. And what can be pulled together in community. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some times when you think community theater and you wonder what that is, and it's a title, but it's also a reality of people coming together. And we just, I mean, you know, I've been in Torrington Community Theater. I've been involved in for many years, and this is hometown, like born and raised, mm-hmm. and it's been in our family for a really long time, this Warner Theater. So
It's magical, and I think that's actually a great moment to pause there, because since this is, you know, one act, it's all plays, there's no mm-hmm. musicals, I'm always like, what music do I bring? But there's a lot of great songs in the musical theater world that have to do with putting on a show, and I think that's rather apropos of our topic today, the Warner's 12th Annual International Playwright Festival, which is happening this coming Friday and Saturday, that's the 13th and the 14th, starts at 8 p.m. both nights, correct?
Correct.
And it's two nights, different productions each night. So you can get a ticket to Friday, or you can get a ticket to Saturday, or you can get a ticket to both, because you're not going to see the same thing twice. So you would go to warnertheater.org for all of that. But the point that I was originally making was the music that I try to bring in for this, so many great songs about putting on a show, and one of them is from the show Pippin. It's one of the opening numbers. It's called Magic to Do, and I think that speaks to what we were just talking about, this idea of it all coming together so quickly from the advanced side and from the production side to bring all this great theater to you, the public. So let's take a listen to the new Broadway cast recording of Pippin. This is Bettina Miller in her Tony Award-winning role, and the cast with Magic to Do.
Journey through our anecdotic review. We've got just for you. We've got lyrical plays to play.
And bloody.
Join us,
sit where everybody can see.
We've got magic to do just for you. We've got miracle plays to play. We've got hearts to perform, hearts to warm, kings and kings to take by storm as we go along our way.
Are you ready to have a good time tonight?
This is where you're here. I know you come. I know you are.
That was Magic to Do from the new Broadway cast recording of Pippin here on Backstage on WZBG. And we're talking this morning about the Warner Theater's 12th Annual International Playwright Festival. That's the magic that's going to be happening in Torrington on Friday and Saturday next weekend, the 13th and 14th, starting at 8 p.m. And remember, different shows each night, so you can go to both nights and have a different experience both times. So it's an option. It's a thought. Just saying. I'm talking this morning with Charlene Donaghy, who is the festival director. Although I think we should start the campaign to get Headmistress in there.
I like it. Headmistress Donaghy. Yes.
Yeah. Rather formal, I must
rather
say.
Rather formal. I feel rather formal. Although I'd rather be the headmistress like in Harry Potter, like that kind of a headmistress. So
gotcha.
I could have magical powers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, theater gives everybody magical powers. If you think about it.
Very, very good.
It transports you. It, you know, folks transform right in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's astounding.
Truth.
So let's talk a little bit about the Friday night shows. Okay. We'll start with that, because you have four shows coming up on Friday night.
We do.
And from a diverse group of writers from all over the place. So what can you tell us?
So Friday night we start with Shelter and Comfort. And mm-hmm. Shelter and Comfort is by a playwright named Rex McGregor. He's out of New Zealand. Rex actually was in the festival last year. And one of our actors came down with COVID. And so of course, wanting to be respectful of everyone and safe and mm-hmm. healthy, mm-hmm. We decided not to produce that one or not to perform it. We reached out to Rex, and he's great. He was like, yeah, whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. So he gave us permission to let it go up this year. So Rex leads off the night. And then Maximilian Gill is a writer out of New York, and his show is called The Corrector. Mm-hmm. He will be going up second. Then we have Windfall. Windfall is by Charles Hertz, and Charles Hertz is a playwright out of New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. He's going to be coming to the festival.
Ooh, exciting.
He's bringing a pretty decent group of people with him, so it's going to be a good, fun evening for us with him. And we wrap up with a playwright actually some people might know. Her name is Barrett Swain, and Barrett has submitted with us before, and all of these are selected blind, so mm-hmm. we don't ever know who wrote them or how they, you know, how they come about until afterwards. Mm-hmm. And Barrett is she's one of these people who's also a champion of other writers, which is a wonderful thing. And I met her probably, oh my goodness, 12 years ago, maybe even longer at this point, where she was in New York and actually produced one of my plays. So she heard about the festival when it was in its infancy and started sending. And a couple of times we produced her plays. Mm-hmm. This one is called The Plan, and she will also be here. It's always a pleasure seeing Ooh. Her. So that's our Friday night, and it really runs the gamut. I pulled up like our synopses on all of these plays. So you're going to get everything from, you know, Shelter and Comfort is a privileged woman shelters from the rain in a furniture store. So there's not a lot of, there's a lot of mystery with that. What does that mean? What's that going to be?
Yeah.
And so you get to see what that is. And there's comedy, there's drama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for Barrett's because she's always just, she's a very prolific, she writes a lot of short stuff. So Feisty Marge demands an apology in this mother-daughter comedy that explores regret, acceptance, and unconditional love as Marge makes final preparations to enter assisted living.
Oh.
Right? So you've got that mom-daughter comedy connection.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's also that sort of subtext of something serious in life that we all deal with.
Yeah. I mean, and that's becoming more and more of a reality for people as folks are living longer, and mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah.
But you do have to consider how the, what's past the gold, the diamond years of your life are going to be spent.
Yes, the diamond years. Yes, I like that.
Because, you know, the golden years, that's the retirement, and let's enjoy ourselves. And then you get to a stage where, okay, we don't need to do all those things anymore. We can just be content and call the diamond years.
We'll be shiny.
We're gonna start. Look at me. I'm left and right here. We got headmistress of the festival. We got the diamond years. I should start charging for this.
We've got mother daughter comedy.
Yeah,
it's great.
Interesting. And now you mentioned that Rex McGregor, the playwright for Shelter and Comfort, he's from New Zealand. So when you call it the International Playwrights Festival, you're not kidding. You get submissions from all over the world.
We do. Our very first international winner was a playwright named Gail, and she was Australian, and she had actually never been to the United States.
Oh.
She came for the festival.
Wow.
That year was her first trip to the United States. She ended up making friends with another playwright who was Boston-based and went to stay with her to extend her vacation in the States, stayed with her at her house. And I think Gail, like, took out a million, you know, Facebook ads or something and let everybody in Australia and New Zealand know about this festival, because mm-hmm. that is probably, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada are like the three large, you know, international places where we get the most scripts from.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I mean, this year we had scripts from Belgium and Greece and Israel and Spain. I mean, they're all over. We get them from all over the world. It's international.
Now, not to sound, you know, like a country bumpkin here, but when you get these scripts from other countries, especially countries where they have an official language that is not English, do you ever encounter translation errors? Or do you always get something that was written specifically in English?
We do require that they be written in English.
Okay.
What you find a lot of times is a formatting change.
Mm-hmm.
So there are sometimes the expected formatting, like Sam French playwriting formatting is pretty standard for the United States.
Yeah.
But, you know, Belgium might not have that. They might have a different formatting. So our readers, our first-round readers, are always instructed that, you know, if the formatting looks strange, reach out to me, and mm-hmm. then I check to see where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an international one, no problem. If it's mm-hmm. if it's a United States one, you know, you're a writer, and knowing formatting is a really important thing in anything.
Absolutely.
You know, so yeah.
Yes, from the actor's side of things.
Correct.
I need to be able to expect things so that I can figure out what I'm trying to do. If mm-hmm. I have to work that much harder, it becomes, you know, just an onerous task. Yeah. There's your SAT word for the
morning.
There you go. Onerous. Look it up.
Onerous.
So that's amazing. Mm. And I'm glad that the first international Gail, you said her name
Gail,
was.
Gail, yes.
Not that Torrington in the Litchfield County area is not lovely. But for your first trip to the United States, I think you do need to see one of the more signature parts of the country. So I'm glad that she was able to extend her stay up into Boston, which she is, did. You know, just as lovely and historic and whatnot. Just has a little bit more of a cultural cachet, if you will.
She got the whole gamut. She got, you know, being here in these, like, beautiful Litchfield Hills and enjoying this, and then going to Boston. And Robbie D'Alessandro was the girl she made friends with, and they, like, hung out in Boston and went to theater there. And it was great. She got a really good experience of her first trip to the United States.
Oh, there's some great theater up in Boston. Mm. A lot of Broadway shows do tryouts up in Boston nowadays. They used to do the Goodspeed back once upon a time, and now it's they're going to go up to Boston. They're going to go out to Seattle or whatever. Come back to Goodspeed. Come back to Connecticut.
We're here.
Right?
Great.
Imagine the things that you could see. You know, before it becomes Hartford stage for a while was a proving ground for a lot of big time shows. So maybe the Warner with the International Playwright Festival will become a launching pad
there
for some of these things.
And they have. I mean, I think over the years, the Warner has had some pretty decent, you know, good premieres that have gone on to something else, something more, something beyond this great premieres that the Warner does.
Mm.
Lives. They give these plays lives that go further.
And you could be part of it. All you have to do is attend the festival. It's Friday night, Saturday night, next weekend, the 13th and 14th. I'm getting all my dates wrong, mixed up in my head right now. The 13th and the 14th at the Warner Theater, then the Nancy Marine Studio Theater. It's 8 o'clock each night, and it's different shows each night. So the Friday night, we said, was Shelter and Comfort, The Corrector, Windfall, and The Plan. Just fascinating titles. I mean, they're going to draw you in, I think.
They are.
Just based on that alone. So that's the Friday night lineup, and then we'll talk about the Saturday night lineup in the bottom half of the hour. But that's a whole other lineup. So you can attend one, you can attend the other. You could attend both if you wanted and not feel like you're just rehashing what's already been done. So it's an amazing festival that happens across the two nights, and it's right here in our backyard, here in Litchfield County. What more could you ask for?
And you end up with 8 different journeys over two nights. And it's a beautiful, it's a rare thing. I mean, that's what festivals do.
Mm-hmm.
But 8 different journeys, as you said, of all different genres. You're going to laugh and you're going to feel something in your heart and you're going to be surprised.
And once upon a time, I happen to know this story because I was part of it in a very tangential kind of way. Once upon a time, one of the journeys that you got to go on was a journey that nobody knew they were going on. There was a magical moment that was happening backstage while something was happening on stage. There was an engagement that took place. I won't reveal all the names and tell all the details, but you know, because it is community theater, you can have moments like that happen, too.
You can have moments like that.
Let's band together and support people and do all the fun stuff. So with the festival, because you have all these different shows, I know you don't handle the production end, but it's hard, I would imagine, to conjure up a full set and a full... I mean, you're doing a production, but it's not necessarily to the same scope as you would see if it was a full run of something in the Nancy Marine or on the main stage or you know, any other number of theaters. So do you try to find things that are, I don't want to say fluid, but it's not going to be this long process to put it on its feet, take it down, and put something else up?
So this is a great question. We actually, in the call for scripts, we let them know that it is production. It's limited set, limited tech. Mm-hmm. So Sharon has been a genius in utilizing the projection aspect in the Nancy Marine.
Yes.
So every play gets a different projection, which kind of sets the tone for the audience to see, you know, where this is sort of living, where this world is of each individual play. So you're going to get, you know, a different shot of that for each play. And then we keep it with, you know, black boxes. Everything's painted black, chairs, tables. And then there's some set decoration and some props that each individual play will bring in. Each individual director, each individual actor might have. And they bring that in to make it their own. So it's really, it's a smart way of doing a festival. And I've given talks on sort of how do you do a festival? And this is a really smart way to do it. It allows a full production instead of a reading. It allows the actors to have things to work with, but it keeps the production all sort of cohesive.
Yes.
It keeps the whole festival cohesive, and mm-hmm. it's a great thing, and yet also individual. So. Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous. And again, it's the 12th annual Warner Theatre International Playwrights Festival happening Friday the 13th. Ooh, Friday the 13th. And Saturday the 14th, 8 p.m. each night. Different shows each night. Go to warnertheatre.org to find out more about that. And we're coming up on 9:30, so I think now's a great time. We'll take a pause. We'll come back with What's the Buzz. And then in the bottom half of the hour, we can talk more about the Saturday night shows and some other things that are worth mentioning that we'll get to a little bit. So we're going to take a quick pause for a word from one of our sponsors.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
All right, let's look at what's going on in the theater world. Goshen Players have announced their production of All Is Calm, an a cappella musical about the Christmas Eve truce of 1914. That's going to be running November 25th through December 10th. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to goshenplayers.org for more on that. Landmark Community Theater opened their production of Rocky Horror Show last night. That's running now through October 28th. The Friday shows are at 8, and the Saturday shows are midnight shows. Make sure you're aware of that. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and info. Phoenix Stage Company will be opening their production of The Memory Box next weekend. That's opening on October 13th, running through October 22nd. For tickets or information, go to phoenixstagecompany.org. TheatreWorks New Milford is in the middle of their run of Scotland Road, a fascinating play about a woman who may or may not be connected to the Titanic. It's running now through October 14th. Go to theaterworks.us for more on that. And as we've been talking about here this morning, the Warner Theatre is having their 12th annual International Playwrights Festival next weekend, October 13th and 14th, 8 p.m. both nights, different shows both nights. Go to warnertheatre.org. for tickets and information. And that's the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for another quick message, and then we will be back with more on the Playwright Festival.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG. And I'm joined this morning by Charlene Donaghy, the festival director, or festival headmistress, if you prefer, of the Warner Theatre's International Playwrights Festival. And so we spent the first half of the hour talking about Friday night and the festival in general. So I think it's only fair that we spend some time this half of the hour talking about Saturday night and what people might encounter there. So what can you tell us about the Saturday night shows, Charlene?
So the Saturday night shows run a gamut. Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be a lot of comedy on Saturday night. So we open with Permanent Ink, which is a play that I wrote.
Oh.
It's actually one of two plays that are connected. Mm-hmm. We've done the earlier one, which is Always a Line. We did that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. This is a young man stumbles into a theater looking for his fiance, and who is there with a friend and a very sage, wise usher, 40 and like odd years. He's an elderly usher. Sort of has to help this gentleman realize what's important in life. So it's
gotcha.
It's fun with some really interesting physical comedy as well. And then we have One Word by Constance Marie. Constance is from Florida. And this is a couple that goes to a lake house.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is not happy with Bradley. And Bradley's clueless and has no idea why. So it is sort of their journey of figuring out what the issue is and whether they come together or they don't, you have to come and see and you'll find out.
So a typical man-woman relationship.
Yes, correct. Very typical with comedy. Chef's Surprise is by a playwright in Georgia, David Graham. It's this look at, a little bit of a look at class, and it's in a restaurant, and it's a customer and a wait staff person, and sort of this journey of freedom for one of the players, if not both of the characters. And we end with a play called Ghost Light by Randall David Cook. He's a wonderful, prolific writer out of New York, and this is a piece that's contemporary. It's set in our times, and yet it lives as a period piece, and you will find out if you come Saturday night. And as you can tell by the title, Ghost Light, it might just have a ghost or two. I love ghosts in plays.
Oh, there's always a ghost.
There's always a ghost, right?
Actually, there's an author that I enjoy. His name is Christopher Moore. I don't know if you're familiar, but he writes this very... It's not surreal. He's an author that just takes nothing at face value and nothing is serious, and he wants to turn everything on its ear. So he'll write this very genre piece in a variety of genres, but then there's this twist that all of a sudden you're reading something that's this almost farce comedy. And he's written a couple of novels based on Shakespeare's works, and one is called Fool, which is based on King Lear, and the other is Shakespeare for Squirrels, which is based on Midsummer Night's Dream. And there, inevitably in his novels, there's a character that goes, there's always a bloody ghost, you know? And because it's true, there's always a bloody ghost. And that's the legend of the ghost light in theater, that the theater has spirits attached to it from years past in different productions and things, and the ghost light, you know, keeps them at bay until something comes to live on the stage again. And I love that. And I wish more theaters would use a ghost light. I've been to many a theater that doesn't have one. And things go fine. I mean, it's not like, you know, there's curses or anything like
that.
Keep
the ghost light on. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah. So you've got Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, and New York all on Saturday night. So you're really drawing from, I mean, we knew that you said there were, what, seven different countries represented in the initial submissions. And then off the air, you said it was 26 states?
26 states, yeah.
Wow.
Submissions from 26 states and seven countries this year, yes.
So this is quite the broad appeal then. That it's drawing, which is amazing. And I think, you know, sometimes maybe in this part of the country, because we're so close to Broadway, which is the epicenter of theater in the United States, we forget that there's great theater and great plays and great writing happening all over the country. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't think Georgia or Florida, but yet here they are.
Here they are. Yeah, we've had, and like last year we had a wonderful player from Florida. I mean, we have... writing and theater, you know, small venues, large venues. I have a friend who runs the Brownsville, what's it called? The Brownsville Village Theater in Nebraska.
Oh.
Brownsville is about as big as, it's a dot. There's not even like a stop sign. There's not even a light. There's nothing. But she does a repertory theater. She brings in the actors. She houses them. It's in an old church that they converted into about maybe a 60 or an 80 seat black box. And, you know, it is the type of theater that is just lovely. Mm-hmm. And they bring in shows from all over. They do new theater. They do existing, you know, touring Broadway, not touring because they use their own rep company, but it's the type of theater that, you know, you pray stays around because it's really building something with an amazing group of artists. And so that's theater everywhere, you know, this little map dot Brownsville Village Theater in Nebraska, and they are just doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm. And these places and the Warner is included in this, you know, they don't survive without patronage, you know, you have to, and we're focused on the Warner here this morning, obviously, because it's the Warner's International Playwright Festival. But the same is true for, you know, playhouses in Goshen or Thomaston or Oakville or New Milford or Hartford or Haddam or wherever.
Yeah.
They need an audience. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is amazing work. And it's, you know, okay, fine. It's not Broadway. So it's not the multi-million dollar production. it doesn't matter. The story is the story.
Correct. The story is a story. And this, I ran an international theater festival, the Tennessee Williams Festival, for 16 years. And we started with, it's about the words.
Mm-hmm.
It's about those words that transport an audience to someplace else. And that's, it can be anywhere. It can be out in a parking lot, mm-hmm. and it's still theater.
Yeah. The Warner did the Assassins production at the drive-in movie mm-hmm. theater during right. COVID. You know, who would have thought you're going to be attending a live theater event at a drive-in movie theater?
Yeah, it's
but that's
great.
It. Or the International Playwright Festival the year that it was done virtually.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to be part of that production series, and it was, you know, you filmed a different thing, and then it was like once a week or every other week you released a new play on it. And you know, so there's always something interesting, and people always, you know, playwrights always have something that they want to say. And that might sound a little like they're just nagging at us or something, yeah. but people always have a point that they want to make. And they do it through theater. And then the actors come in and they help bring it to life. And the backstage folks mm-hmm. all make it look good and sound good. And, you know, so it's this wonderful experience that needs patronage in order to survive. So
the audience is, you know, you always think about your audience, mm-hmm. right? How do we, as the creatives in all of the iterations of that, make an audience feel something and remember?
Mm-hmm.
That is just... A lot of times if I have productions of mine going up, I'll like sit in a back corner and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear a laugh or you hear a gasp or you hear a sniffle and you're just like,
you know, you
nothing
got
is better. Yeah, you know, you've got them. Like nothing is better than that.
I agree. It's 9:41. So why don't we take another pause? We'll listen to a song and then we can come back and we have weather to talk about, which the weather might work out to send people to places that are indoor experiences, like the International Playwrights Festival, happening Friday, Saturday, the 13th, 14th, at 8 p.m., different shows each night. Go to warnertheater.org for tickets and information. But to tide us over, here's a little song from the 1999 cast recording of Annie Get Your Gun, another apropos song of what we're talking about this morning. This is There's No Business Like Show Business.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere can you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bar. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you opened, and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they've hung a star. Let's go on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, I am Colonel Buffalo Bill Cody, the owner and founder of the most famous Wild West show on earth. You are now going to see my own personal version of the tempestuous and romantic story of Annie Oakley and Frank Butler. Here is a handsome and dashing leading man, Mr. Frank Butler.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. How you worried using half the night off, waiting till the morning papers came.
What a moment when your face would light up to see the write-up and find your name.
It's Frank Butler's fearless assistant, the lovely Miss Dolly Tate.
The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum.
The closing when the customers don't come.
There's no business like show, business like no business I know. Everything inside just starts to shake off when your picture in the news appears. And the thrill each morning when you wake up with drops of makeup behind your ears. There's no people like show. People, they don't run out of door. Angels come from everywhere with lots of jack. And when you lose it, there's no attack. Where did you get money that you don't get back? Let's go on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the heart-stopping, knife-throwing team of Keeler and Tate.
There's no business like show business.
If you tell me it's so.
There's no business like show business. There's no business like show business. There's no business like show business. I know. There's no business like show business. Like no business I know. Traveling through the country is so thrilling. It's so thrilling.
No Business Like Show Business from the 1999 Broadway cast recording of Annie Get Your Gun here on Backstage on WZBG. And I'm joined this morning by Charlene Donaghy, the festival director of the 12th Annual Warner Theater International Playwrights Festival. And it's very exciting. We're going to get back to that in a moment, but first we should talk about the weather because it's, you know, 9:47. Good time to talk about the weather. So, Charlene, you want to tell the folks what to expect from the weather?
I absolutely will. I promise it's not snow. Today we have scattered showers this morning with periods of rain, some heavy this afternoon, highs in the 60s. We should expect 1 to 2 inches of rain by evening.
Oof.
Tonight, well, better than last weekend, right? Last
That's
weekend
true.
Was crazy.
That's true.
Tonight, lingering rain through the evening, then partial clearing after midnight, lows in the 40s. Sunday, mostly sunny, much cooler, highs in the 50s. Sunday night, clear, chilly, low in the upper 30s to low 40s. And Columbus Day, mostly sunny, cool, pleasant, high 50s for Columbus and Indigenous People Day.
There you go. It's currently about 64 degrees at our WZBG studios in Litchfield, and I keep forgetting that it's Columbus Day / Indigenous People's Day weekend.
Yes, it is.
Which means I don't have to go to work on Monday.
Yay!
So I'll take it. Why not? And if the weather's great, even better. I do need to cut my lawn at some point because with the rain. The rain we've been getting has been just unbelievable, which I guess is good. We, you know, replenish the reservoirs and whatnot, but it's also making the lawn grow like crazy and driving me up the wall because you can only get to it at certain points. And by the time you get to it, it's a jungle. So
busy stuff.
Yeah, I know. I know you wanted to mention a couple of things in addition to the Playwright Festival that are happening in the area. That you are involved with. So what's on tap?
So kind of in order, this Wednesday, October 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Torrington Library is the Taste of Torrington. I'm a librarian. I work there. I love Torrington Library. I love that job. It is a gathering of a lot of restaurants in town, and there's libations and meeting people and wandering the library, which is a beautiful library to be in. And Taste of Torrington tickets, you can get them on the library website, or you can get them that night. Mm-hmm. So that's this Wednesday, October 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. And then a kind of a thing that sort of came up at a last minute. So the Torrington Historical Society, in 2015, when Torrington was celebrating its 275th anniversary, they did a cemetery tour of Center Cemetery in mm-hmm. town. And I wrote the monologues, and the Warner got actors to portray these Torrentonians, as we are called. They are going to be doing a new tour, a cemetery tour, and the Warner is again helping get actors for this. That is going up as part of the Halloween Hoopla event. I love that name, right? Halloween Hoopla.
I love alliteration.
Right? It's going to be October 27th, okay. The Torrington Hoopla, mm-hmm. and this cemetery tour is part of it, and I'm again doing some monologue writing for that, which is by far one of my very favorite things I've ever written in my whole career. Like, I love that it's Torrington, that it's my history and the history of my family, and it's just working with people in town, which I love, and that the Warner's involved and the Historical Society's involved, and yeah, so it's a gathering. Finally, speaking of history and family, this one's a little ways out, but Saturday, November 4th, mm-hmm. At Howard's Bookstore, my dad, Fred George, who is going to be 91 years old, my dad has had a wonderful life in this town all mm-hmm. of his life. He's Lebanese, so from that heritage of what Torrington is, he ran for mayor, he owned many businesses. He's just been a person who has been connected to this community, and he wrote a memoir. Mm-hmm. And so Howard's Bookstore, on Saturday, November 4th from 12 to 1:30, he's going to be doing a book signing. And the connection back to the Warner, which is really fun, is back in the 1940s when my dad was a kid. He was an usher at the Warner Theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so back then his boss was Mr. Scanlon, and they had to wear knickers and beanie caps. And every day they would come in, and Mr. Scanlon would check their fingernails and check behind their ears. And it was a time when every single patron had to be walked to their seats. So it's a whole different... I mean, you think of it, the Warner was maybe 10, 12 years old at the time.
Yeah.
It was a baby theater, and he was a kid, and that was like one of his first jobs. So it's going to be a great memoir. He talks about living in this town and growing up in this town, and it's... How often do you get to sit with a person who's about to be 91 years old and hear about life?
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, and he's just, my dad's wonderful. So, yeah. Go.
I'm still staggered by every patron who's walked to the seat. I mean, the Warner Theater sits 1,700 people plus.
Yeah.
That's, oof.
A lot of ushers.
Yeah, tired legs at the end of the night.
I'm tired. Yeah. Young people who had, you know, the stamina to be able to walk 1,700 patrons.
It's
one of my favorite stories of his. There's so many, but this one, it's that, you know, it's that our family has been connected to the Warner since mm-hmm. the 1940s, and it's a joy. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And the book itself, is that going to be, is that like an online thing, or is that
it is, so it's not on Amazon. My sister Connie, it's DeAndrea Leather. Wow. And if you go to her website, DeAndrea Leather, you can purchase it through the website there. He will have copies of the book at Howard's. So Saturday, November 4th, 12 to 1:30, and you get to hang out with a cool guy.
That's amazing. And that also kind of then fills in some of the backstory, I think, on you, because you're a very diverse woman. You work at the Torrington Library. You're a professor. You're a playwright. Do you do windows? I mean,
I do not do windows.
Oh, okay.
You found it. I do not do windows.
So close.
So close.
But so I imagine some of that must have come from your dad and the varied experiences that he had as a younger person.
Absolutely. I mean, my dad and mom were entrepreneurs, and so we did a. They had a lot of wonderful. They sold swimming pools, and they owned a head shop back in the day, and gas stations and everything, and were always people to help whenever they were asked. Mm-hmm. And it's mom passed a few years ago, and you know, she's missed it dearly, but dad is here and carrying on and having a great life. at his, you know, he always goes and people say, "What? You're not? No, you're going to be 91." But yeah, I thought we thought you were going to like 70, and he's like, "No."
So and that legacy now carried on by you because your involvement with this and your work with graduate, you teach composition and writing, right?
I teach creative writing in stage, screen, and fiction for actually, oddly, the University of Nebraska, Omaha in the graduate program there. I also teach in the undergrad program theater and cinema classes.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I think that that is something that we've been instilled. I think a lot of people are instilled with that. That spirit of doing a lot and enjoying it. Like, where do you find joy?
Mm.
So, yeah. So, yes, I do. I do a lot of things, but I'm busy. And it's now, a good thing.
the teaching the writing, because obviously teaching for University of Nebraska, you're not a professor in residence.
Correct.
Teaching the writing I can get as an online thing. Do you find it challenging with the theater and film and theater classes because you're not there with them? It's not... Because I think of theater and film, it's very, like, hands-on. You're right there.
So the creative writing is what they call a residency program. So the professors and students get together in Nebraska twice a year. We are assigned students. We create study plans, and then we each go home, and they work 4 months, 4 packets a month, and then we get together and talk. So it's not a lot of being on the computer online with them. It is interaction. The online classes, I actually find that for me, I've been teaching online since 2011. And when COVID hit, I was kind of tapped to train other professors on how to do this and do it well, so that there has to be a connection. They have to see you every week.
Yeah.
I do, it's a asynchronous teaching, so they can do it at 2 a.m. in their PJs, which is, I think, is great. But the films, I have two new courses on cinema, superhero cinema, magical realism, and superhero cinema, anti-hero. And it is giving them really good films and giving them really, you know, thoughtful things to think about and to learn from. You know, how do you go see a film and be able to understand the aspects of what magical realism is, which is basically, you know, magic is happening within the reality of the world, and it's thought of as just normal. You know, just normal. So it's a different connection. It is very different from being in a classroom, and you have to understand that even online there has to be connection. They have to see you. They have to see you. Like, if it's just writing something, ugh, you know, you're not going to have that. It's not going to be a great class. But every week they get depending upon how long the summer session is, a 6 week regular session is 16. We're starting a new thing called a J term, which is a 3 week intensive in January. So they're going to see, they're going to be sick of seeing me, because they're going to see me about every day. See about every day. So, but yeah, it's, I love teaching. It's one of my joys. I love working with writers who take my breath away with their creativity. Really.
And now to bring it back to the Playwright Fest, have you ever had a former student submit work for the Playwright Fest?
Oh, yes. This is why we do it blind submission, because I would pick all my students. No, I'm not going to do that. So the first round readers are all blind submissions, so I don't know who they're from or what they're submitting or who's submitting. Once we get into that final round, I can see them, and it's good that there's three of us, because, you know, I don't get final say. There's it has to be a democratic process. We have produced some of my students, and and it's been it's a pleasure for me, but it's also you know, they're great plays. Like, they have to get round. They have to get, and I tell my students that. I encourage them to submit. I know playwriting, just like, you know, theater everywhere, it's a, it can be a small world where, you know, I have playwright friends all over the world. They can submit. I encourage them to submit, but I don't know who is submitting what until, if they make it through that first round. Then I'll know. But yeah, it's important. You got to keep the integrity of it. You got to keep the integrity of it.
Exactly, and that's what leads to good work happening.
Agreed.
Not that personal connections can't bring you good work anyway. But when you put the work first and foremost, that's when magic happens, and that's what the audiences go for. So I encourage the audiences to go for the 12th Annual Warner Theater International Playwright Fest. It's happening Friday and Saturday, the 13th and 14th of October. 13th and 14th of October, 8 p.m. Different shows each night. Four shows one night, four shows another night. Different shows each night. You can buy a ticket to one night. You can buy a ticket to the other night. You can buy a ticket to both nights, whatever you want to do. Go to warnertheater.org for that. And then that's about it.
That's about it.
Our time. So,
it's
Charlene,
been great.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to have you every year to talk about this. This is one of my favorite events. I'm definitely going at least one night because I happen to know, I mean, I know a lot of people involved with it, but I happen to know one of the directors rather well. So
I kind of got to
make sure I go. So go out, check it out. And yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been great. Always. I love coming here.
Always a great time. Can't go wrong. Next weekend, I have Phoenix coming on to talk about the Memory Box. So make sure you tune in for that. In the meantime, I'm going to give you just a little snippet of a classic song from Beautiful, the Carole King musical. This is On Broadway. Have a great week, everybody.
Say the neon lights.
This is FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington.